إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. Yesterday we spoke about the issue of approach to knowledge, which starts with the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And the way to build that khashyat of Allah is to reflect on His creation and to revel and wonder in the glory and majesty of what He has created, so that the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters our hearts. And then to reflect on the fact that one day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what brings about the khashyat of Allah. And as I mentioned, two principal benefits. One is the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away all anxiety from your heart, and two, it protects you from sin. These are the two benefits. These are also the two meters to judge how much khashyat you actually have. One is to say you have khashyat. How do we know that? You know that if these two things are happening. So these two things are benefits, but they are also gauges. The one who has khashyat will not have anxiety. So if you have anxiety, it means there is no khashyat, or khashyat is weak. And if you have khashyat, it will protect you from sin. And if you fall that you are committing sins, and especially if you are committing sins repeatedly, then it means there is a problem with the khashyat. There is no khashyat. So these are also two meters to judge how much khashyat we have. And then we work on this. Khashyatullah is affected directly by any sin that we commit. You can feel it. You can feel it in your heart. And wallahi, believe me, the day you can't feel it, then that is a day of real tragedy. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it means that perhaps the door of hidayat has been closed. So be very careful with that. If you are not feeling that, then it means your heart is really dead. So if you are feeling that, yes, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a good meaning, it is painful and you don't like that feeling, but that's a good sign. It means that there is still some life in the heart, and the heart is responding to the fact that you have been disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important to focus on the heart and say, how much khashyat do I have? What is the gauge for that? One is how much anxiety. The more anxiety we have with respect to the dunya, to that extent, khashyat of Allah is missing. What will happen with this, with that, with that? All of this is lack of khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second is the issue of sins. Today we'll talk about the next step, which is, once we have this khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and while we are doing that, and all of these things are related, it's not a linear equation, not as if you finish one then you go to the other, they're all related. But the next step is building a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, as I mentioned all of this in context of the chronology of revelation. After Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. There is a difference of opinion whether it was the ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil or Surah Al-Muddathir, the first few ayat of Surah Al-Muddathir. But wallah alam, I think it is the dominant opinion is that perhaps it was Surah Al-Muzzammil. So that is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the connection of tahajjud. And Allah said with respect to that, إِنَّ نَاشِيَةَ اللَّيْلِهِ أَشَدُّ وَطْعًا وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. Allah said, yes, we know it is difficult to get up in the night, but that is the best thing to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to build a connection with Him. So therefore, the issue of building a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the khashyat of Allah in the heart, then obviously the slave wants to connect with his Rabb. And that is tahajjud. I remind myself and you that talent is what is given. Skill is what you build. You can have the greatest talent in the world, but unless you train, unless you have an insane work ethic, that talent won't take you anywhere. You will die with that talent. All that so-called intelligence and whatnot will go down the drain if you're not prepared to work hard. Then that means getting up in the morning. It means disciplining your life so that you sleep early, so that you can get up in the morning. There must be a sense of loss There must be a sense of loss, like as if somebody close to you died. A sense of loss, like as if you lost a huge amount of money. So, if you miss the Hajj one day, there must be this sense of loss. To feel that, what happened, what a calamity. That is the power, and that shows how much of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is. And that's the meter for tahajjud, for this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the meter, which is to say that how much of sense of loss there is if we miss tahajjud. I remind myself and you that there cannot be anything more important than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized for his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anyone has a methodology better than that, then he has to examine his own iman. Because there is no methodology that is better than the methodology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught to his Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the issue of tahajjud. Specifically. And I have mentioned many times before, I mentioned the hadith of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha with respect to these ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil, where she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these ayat first, the first 19, and then Allah did not reveal the ayah of Rukhsa, the 20th ayah, until 1 year later, 12 months later. And for that period, the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed tahajjud as if it was fard. And I remind myself and you that this was maybe 10, 11 years, 12 years before the Fard Salah came into being. So they were praying tahajjud for 12 years before the Fard Salah came. And that is why my contention is that the Fard Salah is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a burden. It's not even a responsibility. There was a khutbah of mine in Malaysia where I said, Salah is not your responsibility. That's to wake you up. You know, Salah is not a responsibility. Salah is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to value it like a gift. It's not a burden, I have to do this. No. This gift came as a result of 12 years of praying tahajjud. That connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this as a gift to the ummah for ever and ever. And that is the message for today, inshallah, that we reflect on this and say, how can I organize my life in such a way that my tahajjud never misses, no matter what, traveling, not traveling, sick, not sick. That rak'ah, at least 2 rak'ahs, I pray more if Allah gives you tawfiq, but at least 2 rak'ahs of tahajjud, we must make this absolutely fard on ourselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to his deen, and to give us the benefit of this tahajjud, because this salah is the key. This salah is the key. This is the salah about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the first heaven every night, and an announcer announces on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say who is there, who needs something from Allah. Allah did not say that about Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr. Allah did not even say that about Taraweeh. Allah did not say that about anything except for this Salah, Tahajjud. Imagine the importance of Tahajjud. Imagine what a beautiful gift has been given to us. And if we ignore it, then who's to blame? And as somebody, I think, Allah Alam, one of the shuyukh, he said that if you say you want something badly and you are not praying Tahajjud and you are not making dua for it in Tahajjud, then you really don't want it. That shows how badly you want it. And obviously, you don't really want it. Because if you really wanted it that badly, how come you are not making dua in Tahajjud? Because that's the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is announcing, who is it who wants something? You're sleeping. So it means you don't want it. If you want it, how come you're not asking for it? At the time when the announcement is being made, it's not to say that dua is not accepted otherwise. Dua is accepted inshallah at any time. But there are specific, special times for the acceptance of dua, the number one of which is in tahajjud. Number one. And see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives this throughout the year. 365 days of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this. Now, if Allah had made this special and said, it is for only that one day, Yawmul Arafah, then only the one who can go, he gets it. The one who can't go, he is deprived. But Allah is, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest gifts of Allah are free. The greatest gifts of Allah are free. And you have to do nothing for them. He just comes. The time for tahajjud, you don't bring that time. If you don't get up and you don't ask, then you know whose fault is it? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you don't get up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to where he has to come. Allah announces even if you are not responding to the announcement. Allah, I see the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really I ask Allah to open our eyes to this ni'mat which have been given to this ummah. We are talking all of this because we are Muslims. We know about this. The others, they don't even know about it. How many people do you think are out there who are yearning, how can I connect with God? Where is God? Is there God? Can I talk to God? How many people? Do you think people are out there? There are a lot of people. There are a lot of people in the world. They don't have the answer. We have the answer. Not only do we not convey the answer to others, forget that. As far as I am concerned, that's the second step. At least use it yourself, no? We don't even use it ourselves. How are you going to convey it to anybody else? So seriously, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the ni'mat that He has given us. And the principle and the biggest and best ni'mat of all that He has given us is the ability to connect with Him and His promise that He will respond. He said, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me and I will give you. Ask me and I will give you. That's it. Ask me, I will give you. So why won't we ask? It means we don't want. That's the only answer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to this, to help us to appreciate the ni'mat that He has given, to fill our hearts with His nur and with His khashyat, and to give us the huluwa, give us the sweetness of the salah, to give us the sweetness of connecting with Him Jalla Jalaluhu, to give us the sweetness of iman, the sweetness of tilawatil Quran, and to give us this shauq, this absolute yearning and the you know, great fondness for ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. Because everything begins and ends with ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we enter Islam, ibadah. That's how we stay in Islam, by ibadah. Everything else comes after. Ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the number one thing. Everything else is afterwards. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore to help us to do His ibadah in a way that He is pleased with it. And we ask Him to accept it, to make it kamil, to make it in a state which is worthy of His acceptance and to accept it. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ وَرَحْمَتِكَ